Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Overthinking: Out Loud Proven Strategies to Overcome Anxiety and Eliminate Negative Thinking to Quiet Your Mind for Good, by Donovan Grant, is a contemporary self-help guide focused on anxiety, repetitive worry, self-criticism, and mental overload. The book addresses the experience of having a mind that continues to analyze decisions, replay mistakes, anticipate problems, and generate negative interpretations long after practical thinking has stopped being useful. Its purpose is not to present overthinking as a personal failure, but to help readers recognize it as a pattern that can be understood, interrupted, and managed. Based on available descriptions, the book combines relatable reflections, gentle guidance, and practical exercises intended for readers who want calmer thinking without being overwhelmed by dense theory. It belongs to the anxiety and personal development category, but its emphasis is more practical than clinical. The central promise is gradual mental quiet through repeatable strategies, rather than a complete elimination of all difficult thoughts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, overthinking is framed as a pattern to interrupt, not a flaw to condemn. A defining feature of overthinking out loud is its treatment of overthinking as a recognizable mental pattern, rather than a defect in character. This matters because many anxiety books unintentionally add pressure by implying that the reader should already know how to control thoughts. Grant appears to take a gentler position. The racing mind is presented as a common response to uncertainty, emotional sensitivity, and the pressures of modern life. That framing reduces shame, which is important because shame often feeds the same cycles the reader is trying to escape. If a person sees overthinking as evidence of weakness, every anxious thought becomes another reason for self-criticism. By describing it as a loop that can be observed and interrupted, the book creates space between the person and the thought process. This distinction is practical, not merely reassuring. So, once overthinking is understood as a repeatable sequence, such as worry, analysis, doubt, and renewed worry, it becomes possible to notice where intervention can occur. The book therefore begins from acceptance without becoming passive. It does not excuse spiraling, but it makes change feel more approachable by removing the extra burden of self-blame. Secondly, the book targets familiar anxiety loops, such as what-if thinking and mental replay. The central problem addressed in the book is not ordinary reflection, but repetitive thinking that no longer produces clarity. Available descriptions emphasize cycles of anxious thoughts, self-doubt, emotional overwhelm, what-if scenarios, and replaying past mistakes. These are important because they represent different forms of the same underlying habit. The mind tries to gain safety by continuing to think. Even when more thinking does not change the situation, what-if thinking pushes attention into imagined future threats, while mental replay keeps attention fixed on old decisions and perceived failures. Self-criticism then interprets these loops as proof that the person is not coping well, which can intensify anxiety. The book's focus on these specific patterns gives it practical relevance for readers who do not experience anxiety as a single emotion, but as constant internal commentary. Its value lies in naming these loops clearly enough that readers can identify them in daily life. The implied reasoning is that anxiety becomes easier to manage when the reader can distinguish useful problem-solving from repetitive mental noise. This distinction is central to the book's promise of helping readers take back control of their attention. Thirdly, practical strategies are presented as small interventions rather than dramatic transformation. Overthinking out loud is positioned as a practical guide, but its practicality appears to depend on modest, repeatable actions rather than dramatic personal reinvention. The book encourages readers to work with one strategy at a time, which is significant for people experiencing anxiety because too many techniques can become another source of pressure. A person who is already overwhelmed may not benefit from a complicated system that requires high motivation or perfect consistency. By presenting strategies in a manageable way, the book aligns its method with the mental state of its intended audience. The likely emphasis is on interrupting spirals, creating pauses, challenging negative thinking, and redirecting attention away from unproductive loops. These are common and credible aims within self-help approaches to overthinking, provided they are framed as skills that improve through practice. The book's usefulness, therefore, comes from lowering the barrier to action. It does not require readers to solve their entire emotional life at once. Instead, it treats calm as something built through repeated small corrections, noticing the loop, pausing before believing it, and choosing a more grounded response. This gradual structure makes the advice more realistic. Fourthly, short reflections make the guidance accessible when concentration is already strained. One of the notable features described in available reader-facing material is the book's use of short, contained reflections. This structural choice is important because the audience for a book on overthinking may have difficulty sustaining attention when anxious. Dense chapters, abstract explanations, or long theoretical sections can unintentionally exclude the very readers who need support. Shorter reflections allow the book to function as something that can be entered briefly, especially during moments of mental noise. The format also reinforces the book's tone. Rather than presenting anxiety management as a rigid program, it seems to invite readers to pause, observe, and apply a small idea. This makes the book less like a clinical manual and more like a calm companion for everyday use. The advantage is accessibility. Readers can return to a concept without needing to reconstruct a complex argument. The limitation is that short reflections may not satisfy readers looking for extensive research discussion or advanced therapeutic frameworks. Still, for its apparent purpose, the format is well matched to the problem. A busy mind often needs simple entry points before it can handle deeper analysis. The promise is mental space and steadier control, not the removal of every difficult thought. The book stands out for more aggressive self-help titles by appearing to avoid the unrealistic claim that anxiety or negative thinking can be permanently erased through willpower. Its stated aim is to quiet the mind and reduce the grip of overthinking, but the more realistic interpretation is that readers learn to create space around thoughts rather than eliminate thought itself. This distinction is essential. Trying to suppress thoughts often makes them more intrusive, especially when a person treats every anxious idea as something that must be defeated immediately. A more sustainable approach is to notice the thought, reduce its authority, and choose whether it deserves attention. The book's calm tone supports that kind of relationship to the mind. It encourages control through awareness and practice, not force. This also defines the boundary of the book. It may be useful for everyday worry, self-criticism, and anxious rumination, but it should not be treated as a substitute for professional care when anxiety is severe, persistent, or disabling. Its practical contribution is helping readers develop a more workable relationship with recurring thoughts while accepting that mental quiet is usually gradual. In conclusion, Overthinking Out Loud is best suited for readers who experience frequent worry, mental replay, self-doubt, and negative inner commentary, but want guidance that feels manageable rather than demanding. It is likely to benefit adults who recognize that their thinking has become repetitive and exhausting, especially those who need simple ways to interrupt spirals before they affect sleep, focus, or emotional balance. Its practical benefit is the development of small mental habits, noticing anxious loops, pausing before reacting to them, and approaching thoughts with less self-judgment. Its intellectual benefit is a clearer distinction between useful reflection and unproductive rumination, compared with many books in the anxiety and self-help category. It appears to stand out through its gentle pacing, reflective tone, and refusal to treat overthinking as a sign of brokenness. It is not positioned as a technical clinical workbook or a research-heavy psychology text. Instead, it offers accessible strategies for readers who may be too mentally overloaded for complex systems. That makes its realistic strength the combination of compassion and usability. Readers seeking advanced therapy methods may want more depth, but those seeking a calm, practical entry point into managing overthinking are likely to find it well aligned with their needs. If you would like to support Donovan Grant, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.